here, but the problem is there's nothing on it. So after the congregation meeting today, please stay around for a little while, help out, put some nice decorations on the tree. It doesn't take a long time if there's enough people to do it, and it's fun. So stay and enjoy that if you would. And I am very, very pleased today to be representing the personnel team because we have a great announcement. And last week I shared with you some unfortunate news. This week I'm sharing with you some really exciting news that we now have a new director of children, youth, and young adult ministries. And her name is Jennifer White Olson. The reason I said white is that most of us know her since she was about this tall, so that's where the white comes in. There's a little bit more about Jen in your bulletin, so please read it. Say hello to her. Get to know her if you don't know her already, but she's going to be a great addition to our staff. So welcome,
Thank
Jen.
And with that, I will make my first announcement in my new job capacity. So we have our Advent Festival that was originally scheduled for the 7th, and we are actually rescheduling it to December 16th. So that's in 2 weeks, and it will be during worship. So the young children will be able to spend the time in the fellowship hall, make crafts. The younger children are allowed to bring an adult to help them. The older children can go without. I have a sign-up sheet outside of my office. If you'll take a look and check it out. We need a few adults to man some of the tables. Also, please take a look in your bulletin for the youth events coming up this month. The times for the swimming party were actually incorrect in the Harbinger, so they have been corrected in the bulletin, and permission slips are outside of my office. Thank you.
Tracy.
Tag teaming with Jen here. So anybody that needs to do some shopping at Grease Ridge Mall next Sunday between 6 and 8 and would like to be a Waldo, the senior high event will be Where's Waldo, and our wonderful youth will find you as you're doing whatever it is you choose to do in the mall, walking, eating, shopping, anything. The scarves are in Jen's office, and just be at the mall between 6 and 8. If you don't see anybody, that's fine, but hopefully some of our youth will find you. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Barb Snaith, and every year I organize the women's dinner, but it's changed this year, mainly because I'd like a lot more of the older people to feel comfortable to come out during the day. So it's set for Saturday, January 5th at the Sweetbriar Lodge. It used to be Lodge on the Green on Elm Grove, or Ridgeway off of Elm Grove. And I think it's also off of Long Pond, but it's on Ridgeway. And it's a brunch from 12 to 2. It's $20 a person. I'm going to start collecting money every Sunday beginning today, so find me. And we won't be giving out tickets because we never do anything with the tickets, but I'll make a note that you're coming. And we're also supporting Willow again. So we'll be collecting personal items and for them, and then at the event, hope people can bring boxes and volunteer to help deliver. Thank you.
And on behalf of your mission team, who has been busy out in the parking lot collecting those swim baskets, a reminder from Al Waugh that we are volunteering next Saturday for St. Joseph's, and there are sign-ups on the kiosk for both volunteers and also food items, so please put your name where appropriate. And now on this first Sunday of Advent, I call your attention to your bulletin where there is the printed liturgy as we light the Advent candle.
This is the day we begin our way to Bethlehem. The way is shrouded in a fading sun and a growing uncertainty as the world turns cold. We go to Bethlehem because we are drawn to God's light at the end. It is God's promise born into our lives.
May we
This is the day we begin our way to Bethlehem. We light this candle in hope. We bring this light of hope with us together on this journey. Hope comes from the child, and our hope is dedicated to the child lying in a manger, seeking hope only for our neighbors and for ourselves. May we kindle God's light of hope within us.
please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. In Advent, we watch and wait. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The signs of God's good news are all around us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Show us your ways of hope. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Be born in our world and in our lives.
Will you join me now in the prayer of confession as you find in your bulletin? Holy and loving God, it is so easy for us to let anger, cynicism, and despair show us the way through life. We can't seem to escape it. In our anxiety, we act out our fears in ways that go against the ways you have taught us to live. Free us again to look for your ways of hope. Let us see the many ways in which you are present to us, guiding, healing, loving, encouraging us. Forgive us for our fears and our stubbornness. Bring us again to your light, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Let us now confess what's holding our hearts in fear and as well as guidance to God above. Amen. The days are coming, says the prophet Isaiah, when all God's promises will be fulfilled. These promises of hope, peace, joy, and love will show us the way to Bethlehem, where we find the Christ child. Receive the hope that God offers to you today. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
At this time, I invite the children to come forward. Whew. go in here today? Good morning. There we go. Good morning. Good morning. So do you all see all the words in the bulletin today? Do you see all those words? So there's a very churchy word that we actually give to describe all these words. It's called liturgy. Can you say liturgy? Yeah, it's not one we use on a daily basis, but it's one we use on Sunday. And what it means is the work of the people, that you all together, we, all of us together, put in the work of worshiping and loving God. And can I say that all of these words do not even begin to capture the joy that you all did this morning? You all had the best liturgy I think I've ever heard, that when there was a little bit of silence, I heard someone on this side say, "Yay!" And then I heard someone on this side say, "Yay!" And I thought, "Yay! You know what? That is worship." Because I bet that you all are getting pretty excited, aren't you? What is happening this month? Your first, what else? Your birthday? Who else's birthday is this month? Does anyone know? Jesus' birthday is this month. We are so excited. And so I brought two friends with me today. So maybe some of you who are sitting a little closer can see. Who do you think these two people are? Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph. And do you remember where they have to go when they welcome baby Jesus into the world? Do you remember what town? Bethlehem. So this Advent, we are on our way to Bethlehem. Can you get up with me? And we are going to just field trip a little bit. You ready? So, to welcome Jesus on our way to Bethlehem, we're going to make a stop. Come on with me. Come on. Come on. Ready? So, Mary and Joseph, they're looking for baby Jesus. Does anybody see him? Does anybody? No, you don't see him? You see him! There he is! We can't, don't lean on the table. It's not quite strong enough, but this, in case you didn't know, this is the Advent wreath, and each Sunday we light another candle because, yes, I see, because Jesus lights the way into our life, and on our way to Bethlehem, we need a lot of yays and a lot of light to help us get there. Can you all pray with me? Ready? Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your light that shows us the way to Bethlehem. Yay! Yay! Amen! Thank you! Amen! You guys can have fun at Sunday school, okay? All right. Look at that birdie. I know. All right. He's just hanging out. He's hanging out with baby Jesus.
Our first reading this morning comes from Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. This is titled, "The Righteous Branch in the Covenant with David." "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, at the time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, The Lord is our righteousness.
Our second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus said that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then he told them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We begin this morning our journey in the Advent season by moving toward hope and childlike anticipation of yays at the birth of Jesus. Our eyes and hearts are turned toward Bethlehem, the town where Mary and Joseph are said to have traveled to, where Mary would give birth to a child. Bethlehem becomes the center of our songs and prayers and sermons during this season as the long-awaited Messiah is born. But I will tell you that I find the lectionary that leads us to Bethlehem to be an odd one. The scripture passages for the Sundays in Advent are filled with invitations to look for signs of hope amidst abstract theological concepts like judgment and salvation, and with the dramatic end of the world in cataclysmic earthquakes and floods. This strange and unfamiliar backdrop on our way to Bethlehem is challenging for modern listeners. It stands at odds with what we have come to expect from this time of year. Many of us are already running headlong in 1,000 different directions, attending to the busyness and merriment of the holidays. But Luke invites us this morning to pause for just a moment and observe our posture toward this season. And I will tell you that I noticed mine this week. As winter unleashed an early fury upon us, I felt those changes in my body. Stepping outside, I would tense in anticipation of the blustering snow, my hands clenched in an effort to preserve every bit of warmth I had trapped in my bulky winter coat and fleece-lined mittens. And then I would brace myself for the biting wind, and my head would drop, my shoulders slumped. I was only able to see just that little bit of pavement right in front of me, watching for all the slick ice to avoid slipping, and each step took all the focus I had just to get to where I was going. That self-preservation may sound familiar for us Rochesterians against the brutal cold, no matter how many days we face it. It's our body's natural defense for survival in the wake of environmental distress. But it occurs to me that our bodies undergo a similar posturing when we are weighed down with fear and foreboding of what is to come. It also reflects a fear that we have of what already is happening in the world and our lives. Writing in 1933 on the eve of the Nazis' rise to power, theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer described the fear plaguing the people. He wrote that fear is the arch enemy itself. It crouches in people's hearts. It hollows out their insides until their resistance and strength are spent and they break down. Fear secretly gnaws and eats away at all the ties that bind a person to God and to others. And when in a time of need, that person reaches for those ties and clings to them, they break. And the individual sinks back into himself or herself, helpless and despairing, while hell rejoices. And I find it impossible to ignore how fear has gripped the collective posture of our world today. And I will say I'm grateful for those in my own life who are a bit more out of their heads and into their bodies than I am, because they help me feel just how tightly I hold my body. when I'm working to keep tears and frustration at bay, that my head and shoulders slump in a stubborn response to staving off the suffering and fear that I don't want to feel or show. Because I'm the master of overthinking all the ways to avoid that little patch of dirt in front of me. And I'll lose sight of that larger vision of hope and redemption that God calls me to lift my head and see. You see, the community to whom the gospel writer addresses this morning embodies these very challenges. His words were written more than a century after Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem when Jesus was born into this world. But Luke's community most likely already knew that Jesus' words of lament that we heard today had been fulfilled in the second destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Roman army. And it wasn't just a building that was destroyed. Passover pilgrims were trapped for months in the city and had been reduced to starvation and plagued by disease. These words are written for a people already weighed down by worry and hunched over with fear. Luke describes events that took place after Jesus' death, but he describes them through the eyes of Jesus, as if he were there, how he would feel, what he would say and do. So Luke not only gives us a historical account of God's eye view of reality, that it is so much bigger than that little patch of dirt in front of us or them, a perspective we can all use when we find ourselves posturing during difficult times. Which is perhaps why I'm drawn to the words of promise and hope embedded in the middle of these verses. Now, when these things take place, stand up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus tells us that people of faith are not exempt from suffering or the political and economic and personal traumas of the world. We all know we experience them just like everyone else. The difference is that people of faith stand up. And we raise up our heads and we look to the sun and the stars while always keeping our hearts moving forward. And the reason is that even though bad things happen to good people, we trust that God is in charge, that God is behind history, God is embedded in it, and God is moving us forward. So on our way to Bethlehem this Advent season, we join Mary and Joseph, though, of course, they are not aware of the words their son would one day speak. They do embody the posture of people of faith. Rather than hiding inside the secular sentimentality of Christmas, we are called with them to open our eyes to see the chaos of the cosmos. Even when we can imagine nothing else than bracing ourselves from the suffering, we are called to lift up our heads, recognize with a God's eye view the beauty and the horror of this world. Because it is then, with open hands and hearts, we will receive the gifts of God's promise that redemption is in fact drawing near as our very own breath. So I would invite you this morning, especially during our time of communion, to engage in this spiritual practice. with the bread and the cup in hand, I would invite you to just breathe, to feel in your body where you are experiencing tension, in your jaw and in your head with your teeth clenched, to take a breath. To feel in your shoulders and neck and back that pain from slumping over, relax. Ease your shoulders back and raise up your head. Keep your eyes open during communion today and look around. Imagine with God what hope and redemption might look like in our world today. This is a practice that you can do this morning, but it doesn't need to be limited to just today. We have a 4-week journey through Advent to Bethlehem. May you find time in your everyday practices to posture faith, that when the news of the world is fear-provoking and filled with despair, when your own pain and suffering overwhelms, take a breath. Raise up your head. And remember, redemption draws near. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. Come, all who journey this way to Bethlehem. Friends, again, we gather around God's table of mercy, abundance, and hope, a table gladly bearing signs of life and goodness for all. In this moment, in this sacred place, God comes to us and satisfies all our yearnings. Yet not in supernatural or interventionist sorts of ways that only tear at delicate fabrics of human hope and trust, but in the calm and in the stillness of each of our hearts. For it was our Savior who invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were open and they recognized him. So the invitation to this table is not limited. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is God's table, and all who hunger for a deeper relationship with God in this moment, in this time, are welcome here. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Life-giving and breathtaking God, we delight to give you thanks and praise because nothing is impossible with you. You were with Abraham in the promise of a people and with Jacob in the promise of a land, with David in the promise of a house to dwell. Just as Mary brought forth the wonders of your mercy, so we look to you to bring out of the emptiness of our lives the wondrous fruits of your grace. You have prepared the way of our salvation by raising up a Savior. So with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we join the unending hymn. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Even in this Advent season, we dare to remember Jesus on a night when he faced betrayal and desertion and even death, gathering with his closest friends and infusing the ordinary with new meaning. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of this resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, a witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will return, our hope and peace. Send now your Holy Spirit, O God, upon the bread and cup, simple gifts from your creation with grace, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ's glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life. The Holy Spirit in your holy people on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup and he poured it. So that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life and the faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate this meal together.
Thank you. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry, and those who believe in me will never thirst." Taste the goodness of God's grace. Said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, and apart from me you can do nothing. As the body of Christ, we are strengthened. Taste the goodness of God's love."
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your peace. May we go from here refreshed and eager to be blessings to others in this world. Amen.
We gather as a community, in fact, with all of ourselves, all that we have experienced in our individual lives and communally in our families and nation and world, and we bring those prayers of joy, those prayers of concern together. If you have a prayer of joy or concern you'd like to share, please raise your hand, and an usher will bring one of the microphones to you. Let us know who you are, and please share a prayer. Good morning, Barb.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Sally Christensen asked me to share with you if she could, they could have your prayers this week as their grandson, Aiden, goes to Boston for surgery on his hand. Thank you.
Prayers for Aiden.
I'm Jenny Deacon, a new member, and I ask your prayers for Sandra Eamon and our friend Patty Strieber and our friend Ralph. Thank you.
Prayers for all of them. Thank you. Let's see. Go over this way, Barb.
Hi, good morning, Barb Snaith. Ditto with what Tracy said. The Christensens have gone through a lot in the last few weeks, and I also want to ask for prayers for her mom, Natalie McTartigan, who's had a lot of medical issues recently. So I ask for prayers for Natalie. Thank you.
Kathy Wakeman, I'd like to ask for prayers, continued prayers for my dad and my family. Thank you.
Continued prayers for your dad and family, Kathy. And a prayer right there, and then it's still moving. We'll go this way.
Hi, Ron Steinmiller, a couple of prayers, one for my father-in-law. I was suffering with some heart issues that just started last week when we were with him over Thanksgiving. And for my brother-in-law, who has multiple things going on that we can't seem to figure out what it is, and just hope we can get some help for that.
And prayers for those ongoing health concerns in your family.
Hi, Beth Molina. I ask you for prayers for those folks up in Alaska who suffered the earthquake. Luckily, our friends and family are okay, and we've heard from them, but there's a lot of cleanup that has to go on up there.
Prayers for all those in Alaska after the earthquake this week.
Carrie Dykes, yesterday was World AIDS Day. I'd like to give thanks for all of those who are working towards finding a cure or a vaccine. And with a million new infections each year still worldwide, I'd like to ask for prayers for all the families and those who are affected by the disease.
Amen. Thank you, Carrie. Got a few other prayers this way.
Kate Stanford, I just wanted to prayer of joy. The friend of mine whose son was hit by that red truck did wake up out of the coma. There is a long road ahead of him, but he is awake. And then my other request is I am in the process of interviewing at RIT for a counselor position at their mental health center. And if I could have your prayers for that, I would appreciate it.
Definitely. Many prayers, Kate. Jim, go ahead.
Jim Poole. Is it on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Prayers for Jerry and Pam. Their daughter, Sheila, has kind of had a relapse. And just keep them in your prayers.
So to join Jim in that prayer, Pam and Jerry Crandall, who usually sit in the back row over here, we have been praying for their daughter, Shelly, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. And that breast cancer has returned, and she has begun palliative care. So we ask for prayers for Jerry and Pam and for Shelly and her husband and their 9-year-old daughter. So many prayers for the Crandall family at this time.
Can I go again?
You can go again, absolutely.
I just remembered to pray for the family of George H.W. Bush, his death, and in gratitude for all that he has done for our nation.
Amen.
Thank you.
We join a nation and a family in mourning in President Bush's death. We get everyone? I've got a few prayers this morning as well, actually from my list, just one prayer that remains. Prayers for my husband, Matt, and his entire family in the loss of Matt's grandfather, who died on Thursday at the age of 101. A wonderful joy to celebrate life.
That's its own sermon. Anyway, many, many prayers with Matt and his family. Did we have another one? Are we good? Okay. And also, we would join in prayer as Marge Westfall will be celebrating her 100th birthday this week. We do hope to be able to celebrate with her next Sunday following worship. If she's able to be with us, we're going to enjoy some cake out here in the narthex. A lot of great ways to celebrate that day will also be the choir will be leading worship with the cantata, and we'll have the Advent alternative market. So many great things happening on that Sunday. So please join us. But let us continue our time of prayer. Because of you, fulfiller of promises, we come to know the way to Bethlehem, where justice is born to a shunned family and where riches of your love are born into poverty. Because of you, sign of our redemption, grace sprouts hope in the winter of our despair. Goodness overcomes evil in the streets of our cities, and love transforms hate in the hardest of our hearts. We pray, O God, with an awareness that we cannot fix the world, but instead we can learn to see and taste and touch and know and raise our heads up to see the ways in which you are at work in creation. In this time and space, we try to take our next step of faith, and in doing so, we hope to discover you. God, we pray for a world that fills us with grief, for those who are still recovering from the wildfires in California, the violence inflicted on the asylum seekers at the Mexico-United States border, the ongoing conflicts in the Middle East, and all who care for someone who struggles with addiction and mental illness, all who wait and watch and weep at bedsides of loved ones this week. Because of you, God, in community, holy in one, we will be led in this holy season to the place of our hope and redemption, even as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship as we receive the morning offering.
Join me in prayer. Loving God, during the sacred season of Advent, bring us closer to you. Prepare a place in our homes and our hearts for silence and reflection so that we can rediscover the grace of a prayerful life, including peace, hope, joy, and love. Lord, you call us to be watchful because you do not know what tomorrow may bring. We place our hope in you, and as we prepare our hearts to celebrate your birth on Christmas. May this season be a joyful time to renew our love for our faith in you, and it is always good to come home. And today also we pray for our Jewish sisters and brothers as they welcome and celebrate Hanukkah later this evening. These things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, the Christ child. Amen.
Stand up, lift up your heads. God's time is coming near. Signs of redemption and grace and hope and peace are all around. We open ourselves to these possibilities now and always, assured of the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage sometimes it takes to slow down for the Holy Spirit to assure us of that love. Go now. Alleluia. Amen.